see. You never shit where you eat when you was eating for free. I really say what I do, and they got nothing to prove. Prefer the sweetheart chick to my bitch attitude. People give me they dirt when I'm set, is it worse? They just trying to take my pick, they don't care about my worth. But I'm still gonna pray enemies every day, cause it's really up to God, call judgment day. Katana, 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 katana. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. Katana, 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 katana. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. Mortal Kombat, I see you when yonder. I step in this bitch and I do what I want. I don't give a damn and I don't give a fuck.
Radio Melbourne, station 3CR. As part of 3CR's test transmissions, this will be the first station owned and operated by a cooperative of community organisations.
Mates, we're on the air. Mates, we're on the air. 1967,
that Aboriginal
people were
claimed to
find in 1990. Dock workers in this country.
Became their own land.
Unload South African ships.
3CR's Gold Bucket.
Alternative briefing on the latest. On 3CR's first official day of programming, July 1976.
A lot of strength and a lot of hope.
Your younger days? You do?
Cinnamon blues, rock and roll, country rock, doo-wop and rockabilly.
And slowly but surely we've had the punks against a nuclear war march by, and that was certainly a very noisy affair. And
could I ask you why you're marching today?
Servicemen waiting in anticipation for the entertainment.
This is Public Radio's National Women's News Program. The program acted as a catalyst for women's involvement.
This week's Escalator Radio program is presented by Grade 3-4K from Brunswick East Primary School.
I'm still fighting.
The 3CR is very, very important radio station.
For the 3CR Radiothon, we're after $10,000 by the end of the night. I don't know if total is...
Two cans of dog food.
4,670... Is she really listening to us? I don't know, here she comes now. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that 3CR you're listening to?
Uh-huh.
Fighting against mistreatment or neglect by the mass media.
Thanks, we're on the air.
Side of town. 3CR, voice of the community since 1976, still going strong.
Hi everyone. It's 10:04. I was like, I don't know where I am. What am I doing? It's 10:04. This is She Bob with Yvette, and I'm joined by Nikki Spundy.
Hello.
Today, because we had to have you back, and you and I are a little. A little tired, I would say, today.
Yeah, we're both tired for similar reasons.
And traumatized even, possibly.
That's
yeah.
Possibly the word.
So we've got Nikki and myself have huge construction sites right up against where we live. So what are they building with you again?
I believe it's SEEK.com. Should I mention the company?
Is that, yeah, why not?
it's a massive IT headquarters. They're building a giant hub in Richmond. And that's all going to be all great for the suburb, but it's not super great for the girl living with car drives and earth movers within metres of her house.
Yeah.
It's not great. That's not super great.
That vibrating, it's great, isn't it? You can put earplugs in, but it doesn't make much difference.
It's no, because my house is all dusty, and I don't know if it's dust from the construction site or if it's dust from my house just being shaken. Because literally when I close my door now, there's a trickle of dust. It's like something... My house has become it's become a cartoon movie version of a house in disrepair. Nice. You shut the door and dust trickles on the head. That's the state of things.
Wow.
There
yes.
right now, come on.
I think it's probably because if you've had the door open during the day, the dust does come in. I was watching it happen this morning, huge orange dust clouds. Like you can't see if you're looking off my balcony, you can't see anything. it's mental. And then that settles everywhere, and I suppose it gets into your house at some point. Mm. But, yeah, and then you've got the killer wasps. Killer wasps in the roof.
There was to there for a few months.
There was some mice. There's, yeah, it's just been...
Well, it's funny. The mice are funny because they vacate any time there's anything going on. So the wasps move in, the mice disappear. And you're like, oh, well, at least the wasps dealt with the mice. As soon as the wasps are dead, the mice come back.
Right. It's one or the other. Which would you prefer? Oh, no, well, obviously the mice because you're allergic to the wasps. It's not a great choice, but...
No, well, it's like...
You know, well...
It's like, it's just like the real cut price version of Noah's Ark in my house at the moment. It's just we just bulk ordered some of the crappy animals.
Yeah, where are all the other animals of the alphabet? There's a few more you could have had in there. Oh, actually, no, let's not tempt fate. Just leave it to the mice and the wasps. We were supposed to have a guest with us today as well, Helen Betty Corday, but she couldn't make it. She couldn't get any decent sleep last night because her apartment was inevitably hot as well. So,
it's just all of Melbourne at the moment. No one slept.
Everyone, see, this is why summer's just the worst of all the seasons. There's nothing good about it. I think we were going to talk. We're going to be a little bit more relaxed, I think, today because the tiredness and all and. I don't know. We were going to touch on, but this is the heavy part of the show, and we might have to do like a trigger warning if we're going to talk about male violence, well, in particularly male sexual violence. Are you cool to, do we touch on that or should we, are you happy to
get into,
I mean, I know that for both of us, it gets very upset, this issue.
It is, and it's something which has, you know, I'm shaking the comedy community a lot in the last year, so it's...
Personally experienced?
Well, I mean, we obviously lost a very, very dear member of our community last year.
Do you want to name her? I mean, I think we know the listeners are talking about.
And we lost Eurydice, very, very special lady, a very special comedian.
Mm.
And so we're all still reeling from that. It's everyone's still upset and everyone's still angry. Everyone's like, it's this huge sort of wedge of pain thrust into our community, which is. Which you can't just move on from. And then recently this other poor girl died and she was coming home from a comedy gig as well. And it's...
Roughly the same time of night as well, wasn't it?
And it's hard and it also shakes all of us up because all of us are in those situations every week. We're all coming home from gigs late at night. That's what the job is. The job involves being out late at night. And then we need to find our way to our various homes afterwards. And it's always scary. And you realise your career puts you in the path of danger like that. And it shouldn't be like that because it's, you know, it's a beautiful career which spreads happiness. And it's horrible that there's this shadow that hangs over her.
And she was also doing all the things that we are told as women to do. When we are feeling that there's potential danger, you know, you get your phone out and you call someone. That for me is I can't even imagine for her sister to be on the phone with her at the time. But yeah, these things. I guess this is what I was wanting to get into. The onus is usually shifted to us at how to protect ourselves when it's not well. That's not what the story really is, and it doesn't. In most cases, it doesn't make any difference anyway. I've noticed in the last week. So obviously, a lot of journalists have been writing about the. I hope I pronounce her surname correctly. Aya Massawe. Does sound right to you? This is the lady that, was murdered last week. So it's a 21-year-old Israeli student. So I've noticed several journalists in the last week have been writing about how we shouldn't have to politicize every act of violence against a woman as if there is no culture of violence against women. I mean, would you respond to that?
Well, what's the quote again?
The quote was, well, this isn't a direct quote, but I've seen this across the board. There's like, it's split down two ways. You've got journalists and you've got people such as Clementine Ford talking about how this is a male problem. And yes, there is a culture of violence against women. And then you've got the other camp of journalists saying, no, that's not the case. And why are we politicizing? Why are we politicizing every act of violence against a woman? As though there isn't a culture of violence. I know.
What can be more political than people dying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's... Mm. Like, it's literally the worst thing that can be happening.
Mm. But as though these are, separate, these are individual acts, that the murder of Eurydice or Aya doesn't indicate that there is a culture of violence against women.
Well, there's a whole, there's a whole culture just of male aggression at the world. And it's the same when you see things like the mass shootings or massacres and stuff in public. If you look at the background of the guys who do that, and it's always guys who do that, they've often got a background of violence against women and violence against other people already. It's a very large issue. And I think, there's different political things. The thing of, like, just dealing with male violence against the world and male aggression is one thing. Dealing specifically with aspects of that violence or things which become the focus of that violence, like gender or sexuality or minorities or things like that. Those are all political things.
Of course, or even if you think about, violent extremism in the world, if it was made up of females, there'd be a completely different story. There'd be profiles and books being written about, the gender analysis of why most violent extremists female. But and then you'll have, the other camps say, come with a defense that, there are female clan members and there have been female suicide bombers and things like that. But the fact that we mention those, it sort of proves the point that the minuscule percentage of women that do that becomes newsworthy, because it is so minuscule, the percentage, because most of the violence in the world is perpetrated by men. So why aren't we talking more? Why aren't we allowed to talk about why that is? The APA, actually, as well. So this is the APA. I had a thing from them. Where did you go, APA people? The American Psychological Association. That's what it stands for. So officially, to feminists and people paying attention, traditional masculinity, we've known for a while, it's been problematic, to say the least. It's not a radical idea for people like us. But the APA has made it official in their new guidelines, stating that traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance and aggression, is on the whole harmful. So this is new to, like I said, it's not new to people like us, the traditional masculinities, a problem or being a problem. But I thought that was pretty huge that's officially now the APA guidelines.
Yeah. I think it is something which, it's a very toxic thing on society and on people within that system as well. Now, obviously, personally, I have a sort of unique experience of gender, having, being trans and having grown up, so it's surrounded by males and forced to try to fit in within that environment. And it always stands out when we're talking about getting boys to stand up to other boys, getting people to actually call out things like that. There is, there's an awful lot of pressure against men doing that. When men speak out against other men, it's like all the other men turn on them.
Mm-hmm.
It generates this real sort of wolf pack mentality to stop that happening. And I think there's a lot of pressure against men being better. And there's also direct pressure on men to be crappy as well. There's lots of pressure on men to be toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've to prove their place in the social group, whatever, they should do this toxic thing, they should do this bad thing.
Yeah, to really perform your gender.
Yeah, and it's the things that, you know, because we talk about it in terms of, like, this assumption that, like, all, like, you know, guys are all decent and something bad happens, you should step up and call it out. But it's, like, I think the perspective, like, the state of masculinity is different from that. Like, that the way male culture is in this country, it's constantly pushing people to behave badly.
Mm-hmm.
It puts pressure on us to behave badly. And to actually fight against it takes a lot more work than we're really admitting that it does.
Mm. Yeah, well, the greatest predictor of violence or male violence is the attitudes that men hold about women and about relationships and about gender. And so if he holds sexist beliefs, if he has a sexist attitude, thinks of women that way, that's going to be the biggest predictor of him being violent.
Mm.
You know, so it does start. It does start. I mean, I don't know. This is the thing. We have to keep the conversation going all the time about how to tackle that.
Mm.
You know, if part of the problem is that we tell little boys, we encourage boys to be aggressive, to be competitive, to be stoic, to not show really any other emotion, to not show many emotions other than anger.
Yeah. But it's also we don't really teach boys social skills or empathy in the same way as we train those in girls.
Well, that's interesting you say that too, because that's usually considered a natural trait that women are endowed with. But I tend to think that it's socialized.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, it's a natural trait that everyone has, but we specifically encourage it and train it in girls, and we specifically discourage it in boys. Like what I remember of growing up, surrounded especially like teenage boys and stuff like that, is that most of them knew that they were behaving badly socially, but they didn't know what to do. They were confused.
They didn't know how to stop, or they didn't know how to.
Yeah, it was, and I think when we have, you know, like when we have things like, you know, the word that you hear a lot, like, you know, that boys will be boys thing, it's treated as a way of letting boys off the hook for doing things, which it often is. But it's also a thing which gets used to not give boys the education that they need when they're young. Like, when boys behave badly, there's a tendency to be like, oh, that's difficult, to try to teach them to be better. Okay. So we just leave it. Just, oh, well, boys will be boys, they'll behave like that.
Right.
And it's similar in some ways, you know, how skills which are seen as, you know, which aren't taught, there's a lot of skills which aren't taught to girls. Like when I was growing up, it was a big thing about maths. Like, it's like my sister, especially good at maths, but as soon as you run into a problem, the teacher's just like, oh, well, we don't expect you to get it. And so they don't put in the teaching time that they would put in with a boy having the same problem. And I think there's a thing with teaching empathy and social skills with boys, that as soon as there's a problem, people are like, oh, well,
we don't do that.
Whereas with girls, we sort of like society really rigorously trains young girls in how to behave socially.
Do you think the reason for that is it's coming from a belief about like a biological determinist thing? You think it is stemming from that still? That we believe there are these innate things about girls and about boys? You know, girls are okay, for instance, if the teacher is giving, you know, a maths, it's a maths test or it's a maths equation, and, you know, she couldn't get it, she wasn't going to help her to get it. What was the understanding that girls aren't going to be good at maths anyway, or they're not going to work in that field, so what's the point? Or do you know what I mean? Is it just kind of like, well, what?
And I think a lot of that stuff just becomes kind of implicit, even in an age when we've disproved most of us. That junk science, which is used though, to credit. It remains there. And it, you know, affects people on that level of being like, oh, well, we won't bother with doing this amount of effort because of these preconceptions which we've got going in our brain.
I mean, even this, I had stats here in front of me. Like, Nikki, honestly, why do I have just like...
Oh, we've chosen a day to talk about a hard topic.
I know. And I think, didn't I open the show saying that we're going to
be a bit more relaxed, and then we're like, no, we're straight into it. We're going to go straight into discussing the...
I hope we're doing all right for the fact that both of... I'm speaking for myself. My brain's fried, and I know that you're pretty... You're struggling over there too.
Look, I think there's just a general... For me at the moment, and I say this about... I'm just feeling under siege.
Under siege?
I'm feeling under siege in my house from, like, from noise. And I go out on the street, I feel under siege from just that sense of hostility and danger in society. And it's, you know, when... You know, when, like, it's happening...
Are you feeling it more lately?
Oh, yeah.
You are?
I'm feeling it more. I mean, I feel it a lot anyway. I feel like often going out into the world requires just a bit of like something that happened today. Because there's any day something could happen. Walking around being a trans woman in society, you're always a target for someone.
Yeah.
But I think that's not unique to being a trans woman. I think all women can feel that.
Of course.
To that extent.
But trans women are subject to violence that we don't necessarily talk about too much, do we? Well, on this show we have done, and a previous show. Why do you think you're feeling it more lately?
Well, I think... I mean, when... When something horrible happens, like the death of that, and something happens like that, it brings up like all the emotions that are still raw from other things like that which have happened.
Things that you're still trying to process,
and it both shakes you because it's happening like. That it happens at all, that it happens in your community, and it shakes you because it happens like directly attacking, you know, your lifestyle and the things that you do. I was really thinking about it the other day because I was walking home at night. I'd just been at probably a personal training or something like that. It would have been personal training. So I was on Chapel Street. So I'm walking up Chapel Street, and it's like it wasn't personal training, I was out for drinks. But I was coming home because I was walking up Chapel Street on a Friday night.
Fun.
And I put my headphones on because guys are being jerks, as happens if you walk up Chapel Street on a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just like, well, put on my headphones so I don't have to hear the slurs and whatever.
Being jerks in general, you mean not to you specifically?
No, specifically to me.
Oh, specifically to you.
Yeah, trans slurs and stuff like that. The large number of men in a particular area that... increasing risk there is of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, it's okay. I don't need to worry about them, but I'll just play my music. And so I put my headphones on as I walk up the street and I turn off the busy street to go off and walk down the back streets to my house. I had this moment of panic of like, what are you doing walking down an empty street with headphones on? Why are you doing that? That's so unsafe. And it's just this thing of like, here's my safety thing for going through a crowd. Now here's my safety thing for not being in a crowd. And it just like all that, All that built up tension and fear just really struck me as I was walking my way home.
Yeah, both of your options weren't great. You were feeling threatened in both on in both ways.
Mm.
Mm. I think, I don't know, what should we do? Well,
oh my God, have we spent a whole half hour?
Almost, this, yeah. Mm. I was going to play some CSAs, but nah, sorry. 3CR, I won't care. I'm kidding. I'll play one now. I'll play okay. a little teeny one, and then we'll come back on and we'll wrap it up and
okay.
Maybe we'll see how we go. So yeah, okay. It's 10:26 and I'll play a quick one. We'll be back in a second.
Hello, this is your radio speaking. Are you looking for something that will add some more pep to your Sunday? Do you want music that excites you and stimulates your lug holes? If so, then tune into Rebellious Jukebox every Sunday at 5 p.m. until 6 on 3CR Radio, 8:55 a.m. Or you can stream at 3cr.org.au.
Daily Friday, Robin Sport, Radio 3CR.
Yeah, join me at 11
every Friday for some Black and Deadly Sound. 3CR, community radio, 8:55 on your AM. Black and Deadly Friday, Robin Sport, Radio 3CR.
Yeah, join me at 11 every Friday for some Black and Deadly Sound. 3CR, community radio, 8:55 on your AM. Voice of the people.
Black and Deadly Friday, Robin Sport, Radio.
That went quick. A couple of CSAs there. I think we are, it's 27, I think. We're going to wrap it up and play a track and head off. This has been a very taxing topic for both of us to talk about. And I think most people would appreciate that it's a very difficult thing to talk about, especially for women. And I hope it hasn't triggered or upset anyone talking about this. I mean, there's always a chance that it can. But we will, it's going to be something that, okay, so we have to keep the conversation going about this as much as possible.
I know. And it's one of the things that, you know, that sort of stood out in the comedy community recently is we don't want people to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
It feels like after a certain amount of time, people be like, oh, well, that was a tragedy and it's over. But it's not over.
No.
It's not over until it stops happening.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we are out of here. It's thanks, Nikki, for being with
you
again. Nikki Spundy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to play, it's a track called...
Something soothing and nice. It's self-care time now.
Self-care time.
It's self-care time after.
Should we get a cup of tea after this?
Absolutely.
In a really, really air-conditioned place.
In a really air-conditioned place, get a really chill iced tea.
I literally want to be inside a fridge. this is called Dope Girl by Josephine. See everyone.
Bye.
Yeah, I lost my keys again. Should have stayed in. 5.43%. My phone's dead. If I have to walk, I'm on my way. But Jesse picked me up. He got the Uber, so it's okay. Driver asked me what I wanna play. I really, really, really wanna shake a shake. Early to the party, yeah, you're looking for. Tequila is my weekend. I'ma take a sip high, I'ma let it all out. Let's quit the talk, pass me the oxygen, watch it go down. Run into the party, yeah, you